ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातं अहं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणे परमानंदमाधवं श्री चैतन्येश्वरं। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरक्षे नमः। पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांचा कल्पत्रुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। यं ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुता स्तुवन्ति दिव्यैस्त्वयि वेदे संगपदक्रमोपनिषदे गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानवस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यांतं न विधुसुरसुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमः पंकज नाभाय नमः पंकज मालिने नमः पंकज नेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांघ्रि। सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्रय त्राय विनाशाय श्री कृष्णाय वयम् नमः। श्री कृष्णाय वयम् नमः। ओके सो वंस अगेन वेलकम थैंक यू फॉर बीइंग हियर। सो लास्ट वीक वी वर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम द सेक्शंस वेयर Srila Vyasadeva has compiled all the Vedic literature. He has wrote the Vedas, he has wrote all the Upanishads and Puranas and the histories, and still he was feeling dissatisfied in his heart. He was not feeling completeness after even compiling so vast Vedic literature. And at that time, Srila Narad Muni, he appeared in his ashram. And Vyasadev paid his obeisances to Narad Muni. He gave him a nice seat, paid his due respects. And then he asked Narad Muni, "You please tell me, what is the deficiency in my work? Where I have missed something, because of that I am not feeling satisfied in my heart." So Vyasadev, he approached the Guru for solving his real problem. So I want to take a few minutes here to stress on that point before we move forward. So there are sometimes many situations in our life, many problems in our life, and we try to solve those problems with our understanding by approaching different person, different aspects of life. Sometimes people may approach the politicians to get their problem solved. They can approach different leaders to get their problem solved. They can approach different person like that. But how to get the solution to our real problem? If we want to really solve the problem, we have to approach Guru Sadhu Shastra to get the real solution. So that's why I say material problem, spiritual solution. Otherwise, whatever method we adopt to solve our problems, we may try to solve one problem and then create another problem. Many people, many of you also may have that experience, that while trying to solve the problem, we end up in another problem. I will give few scenarios. So for example, now we want to upbring our kids in a nice environment, in the best possible way, by giving them the best resources, the best in the life, and we think, oh, I even did not have these resources, these opportunities, but I want to give the best to my child. But sometime, while trying to give the best to them, we pamper them so much, we spoil their future in that way. Sometimes parents are so much occupied in their other things, and if the kid is disturbing or asking for something, and what is the quick fix for that? Here is the iPad, here is the phone, here is the laptop. You spend some time on this one, you watch something here, you do something on this. So for a small time, maybe that is okay to distract them with something. But if that becomes the habit, what is the disadvantage in that, or what is the problem later on? If the kid become too much addicted to these things and they try to spend more and more and more time on that, it becomes kind of an habit. And then no matter how much you try to tell them, they will not listen. They say, earlier you allowed me, now how come I am not allowed now? So there has to be certain limit. So we have to be very careful trying to solve one problem for their boredom or not to trouble us, but in long term, what we want to engage them in a positive way. Last time I mentioned that we have to upbring our kids through this channel of Vedic understanding by giving them the knowledge through the scriptures. But if we are giving the knowledge through the scriptures for 10 minutes, but then 10 hours they are pampered or they are bombarded with all this, what they see on the TV, what they see on the media, that 10 minutes of what we give them will be overruled by all the garbage which goes in their mind. So there has to be a balance. And trying to solve one problem, so there are many examples while trying to solve one problem, how it has led to many other bigger problems. You take the problem of the agriculture thing. Earlier they thought, well, we want to use chemical fertilizer which can yield a bigger crop, bigger size of vegetables and all that. But what is the disadvantage of that now? It is making the land completely dependent on that. The land has lost its natural potency. And then this weapon and this whole ammunition thing. Earlier it was used for some protection purpose. Now everybody want to carry the revolvers and guns, and they think, oh, this is for my personal protection. What personal protection? From whom are we so much scared that we have, everybody has to carry the guns and all these things? And ultimately they commit more violence, end up committing more violence through that channel. So once there was a situation of plague in London, if anybody remember, it was 19 maybe 80s time. So there was a situation of plague in London, and all these philosophers, big leaders, they assembled together. And they thought, they tried to speculate what is the cause of this plague and how we can solve this problem. And they came to the conclusion, maybe plague is caused by the cats. And if we want to solve the problem of plague, let's get rid of all the cats. Kill all the cats. Catch all the cats and kill them. So they started catching all the cats and they killed all the cats. And after some time, so they were thinking now the plague's problem will be solved. But sometime later, the plague even spread more. And they were wondering what happened. And then they came to know a plague is caused by the rat. It was not the cat which was the culprit, it's the rat which is the culprit. And now we have to catch all the mouse and maybe kill all the mouse. Now how to kill the mouse? We already killed all the cats, which could have killed these rats naturally. So now how do we catch all these rat and kill all these rats? So it's trying to solve one problem, made it a big problem. It reminds me another instance. Once one person with long beard, he was sitting under a tree. The person is a little saintly person, with sober kind of person. Fan of Ahimsa, right? Ahimsa Parma Dharma. We have to be non-violence, don't harm any ant, any small insect also. So as he was sitting under the tree, so on the tree branch there was a lot of ants there, and one ant fell into the beard of this person. So he said, oh, if I try to brush this ant out of my beard, if I forcibly touch this ant, maybe I will kill this ant. So let me try to put this ant back on the tree from where it belongs. She has fell from her house into my beard. So rather than brushing the ant aside from his beard, he kind of took the hair of his beard and touched it with the branch of the tree. And it is trying to tell the ant, you go back on the tree. Ant doesn't understand his language. So as he is touching the beard on the tree branch, more ants started coming onto the beard, rather than this ant going back. And now his beard is filled with the ants. These ants are biting him and everything, and he is in pain. Now he, with this anxiety, with this pain, he started kind of brushing aside all these. And ultimately in that endeavor, he ended up killing so many ants. So earlier it was one ant, he could have intelligently taken that ant out. But trying to solve the problem in one way, he ended up with a bigger problem. This is the situation with most of us. We try to solve some problem in our life, but with our limited understanding, with our intelligence itself, we try to solve the problem without taking guidance from the superior authorities. We make our life more miserable, more complicated. So that's why the scriptures mention we have to take the guidance through the channel of Guru Sadhu Shastra. So we have to understand through the scripture. If we cannot understand directly ourselves from the scriptures, we have to approach the sadhu, the saintly people who can give us the knowledge through the scriptures. Take the shelter of the Guru. Because without taking the shelter of Guru, in Kali Yuga we cannot make any progress. We cannot connect back with the Supreme Lord. So Vyasadeva, even though he himself is such a learned person, with his example he is showing one need to approach the bona fide Guru to take guidance. And when Vyasadeva is asking Narad Muni, please guide me, please tell me for certain how to solve this problem, what is the cause of my dissatisfaction? And he said, please try to cut down this root problem from its root. I don't want to solve the problem so in a partial way or in a substandard way. I want to solve the problem from the root. If I cut down one branch, the branch will come back. If I take out one twig, one leaf from the tree, it will come back. So I want to cut down the doubt. I want to cut down the tree of this misery. And as he spoke to Narad Muni, first of all, Narad Muni, he chastised him that you have compiled all this Vedic literature. In one sense, it's very good, but most of this Vedic literature, you have propounded the Karmakanda philosophy. And he said, all these scriptures, all this literature, no matter how much wonderful knowledge it may contain, but if it does not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is just the place of pilgrimage for the crows. Crow-like people. The people who have the mentality like a crow. Now where does the crow go? The crow go to garbage. He picks something from the garbage and eat that. So that is a crow-like mentality. So the people who have crow-like mentality, they take satisfaction in all this sort of literature. Now we have libraries filled with books on various subject matter. And people take so much interest in reading these books, personality development, positive thinking, and this, that. That is a temporary solution. Until we have the spiritual knowledge, those things are not going to solve the problem of this personality development and positive thinking. And then people take so much interest in Bollywood, Hollywood gossip and the sports and politics and all that. So for an intelligent class of people, people who are like swan, the paramhansas, they don't take any pleasure in such thing. There is filmy gyan, manohar kahaniya, this, that. People spend so much time, waste their so much time just reading all that mundane nonsense things. And whereas on the contrary, he says if some literature, even though there may be deficiencies in its compilation, it may have mistakes, it may not be very good of a poetic meter, it may not be composed in a nice poetry, but any literature which is filled with the glorifications of the Supreme Lord. The Paramhansas, the swan-like people, they take greatest pleasure in reading those literature. So he inspired Vyasadeva to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. Please compile this vast literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, filled with the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, filled with its reciprocation with the devotees, propounding the principle of saintly association, sadhu sangha. That is the greatest treasure for the devotees. Everybody will take satisfaction, they will feel completely satisfied in reading that, in hearing that, in glorifying that. So Srila Vyasadeva, he absorbed in meditation and ultimately he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. And Suta Goswami is describing all this to the rishis of Nemesharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. And Shaunaka Rishi had asked three questions. So from whom Vyasadeva, how Vyasadeva got the inspiration to compile this literature? How he gave this literature to his son Shukdev Goswami, who was already a transcendentalist. And then how Parikshit Maharaj, who was the emperor for the whole world, how he heard this great literature, giving up everything. So we already discussed Vyasadeva compiling this literature, how Shukdev Goswami heard this great literature. We already covered that in one session earlier. And now we will enter how Parikshit heard this great literature known as Srimad Bhagavatam. So from the 7th chapter of 1st Canto Bhagavatam, it describes the background of Parikshit Maharaj. So 1st Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 19 chapters. The first 3 chapters are discussion between Suta Goswami and all the rishis. And then 4th to 6th is how Vyasadeva compiled this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. There is one chapter about Parikshit, Shukdev Goswami, and small detail about how Shukdev Goswami heard this literature, and there are 12 chapters describing about Parikshit Maharaj, who is the first listener of this great scripture Srimad Bhagavatam. So before describing about Parikshit Maharaj, we talk about the family lineage of Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj's family lineage, from the mother's side and from the father's side, all the females in that family and all the great males in that family. बोलते परीक्षित महाराज के परिवार में इतने महान महान नारियां हुई और इतने महान महान पुरुष हुए जिनका खुद का भगवान के प्रति इतना प्रेम है. और उन महिलाओं में पहले नाम आता है द्रौपदी, ग्रैंड मदर ऑफ परीक्षित महाराज. सो द्रौपदी इज ग्रैंड मदर ऑफ परीक्षित महाराज. देन हिज मदर इज उत्तरा, एंड देन ग्रेट ग्रैंड मदर इज कुंती देवी. सो it comes starts with the description of Draupadi coming to Uttara, and then prayers of Kunti Maharani, and then it starts with the descriptions of Bhishma Stuti, the glorification of Bhishma Pitama from the male side. So let's take darshan of these great women in this whole family lineage, Draupadi, Uttara and Kunti Devi. So first let's take the darshan of Draupadi. So as the Mahabharata war has ended, the Pandavas has won, Duryodhan has been injured greatly, his thighs have been broken and he is lying in a almost dead condition. In that stage, Duryodhan assigned the military general role to Ashwatthama. तो दुर्योधन ने अश्वत्थामा को अपनी आर्मी का चीफ, जो सेनापति नियुक्त किया. एंड अश्वत्थामा ट्राइंग टू प्लीज दुर्योधन, ही टुक कृतवर्मा एंड हिज अंकल कृपाचार्य. सो ही टुक दीज एंड ही attacked on the military camp of Pandavas in the midnight, at the dead of night. And Lord Krishna has taken the Pandavas to a different place. And the sons of Pandavas, the five sons of Draupadi, they were living in that camp. So Ashwatthama, at the mid of the night, when these five sons of Draupadi were sleeping, he killed these five sons by cutting their heads in their sleep. So this is like a great terrorist attack. In the middle of the night, somebody comes in the army camp and try to kill the soldiers who are in their deep sleep, unarmed, not knowing anything. So Ashwatthama, he killed the five sons of Draupadi in their sleep by cutting down their heads. Now we can relate to this scenario. This scenario is very common these days, right? The attack of Uri, 2016. The four terrorists attacked the military camp and they killed the 19 army people in their deep sleep. So Ashwatthama, so this scenario is not new. It has happened in past, at the time of Mahabharata. 5,000 years back, this scenario has happened. And when these five sons of Draupadi were killed, and Draupadi in the morning, when they came back and she saw all her sons in dead situation, their heads cut off, and she is crying with tears in her eyes. She is not able to speak properly and trying to find out how this happened, who has killed my five sons. And that time, seeing the weapons or the arrows and something, people are able to identify who may have committed this crime. And everybody is in the mood of revenge. The Pandavas, Arjun, Bhim, everybody is in a full revengeful mood that whoever has done this heinous act will find that person and give him the right punishment. And as Draupadi is in that deep crying situation, Arjuna approached Draupadi and tell him, I will find out that criminal, bring that person here, we'll cut off his head, and you can stand on his head and offer the oblation to your five sons. तो तुम उसके सर के ऊपर खड़े होके उसका सर काट के उसके सर पे खड़े होके तू अपने पुत्रों का तर्पण करना. एंड कृष्णा इज ऑल्सो सेइंग यस वी हैव टू फाइंड दैट क्रिमिनल वी हैव टू गिव हिम ड्यू पनिशमेंट. एंड अर्जुना इमीडिएटली वेंट आउट दे ऑल फुली आर्म्ड अर्जुना वेंट आउट इन हिज चैरियट टू फाइंड हिम एंड दे अल्टीमेटली फाउंड दैट इट्स अश्वत्थामा हु हैज डन दिस क्राइम. एंड अर्जुना is chasing in his chariot. Krishna is still the chariot driver. And they are chasing Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama is trying to run in his chariot. He is trying to escape. Ultimately, his horses are tired. He cannot run any further. So he stops at one place and seeing the Arjuna's wrath coming to him, he is completely bewildered, scared of his death. And in that situation, not seeing any other solution, he wants to launch Brahmastra. Now, what is this Brahmastra? It's like a nuclear weapon, which can destroy. That is the biggest weapon anybody can have. And he shoots this Brahmastra to protect himself, not seeing any other way out. And Lord Krishna, and this whole... When Ashwatthama shoots this Brahmastra, the whole sky becomes dark and there's lightning happening. All the signs of destructions are appearing. At that time, Arjuna, he approaches Krishna. He turns toward Krishna, prays to Krishna. Krishna Krishna Mahabaho Bhakta Nam Abhayankaram Tomeko Dehamana Nam Apavargosi Samsrite. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. Oh Krishna, you are the most powerful. Bhakta Nama Bhayankaram. You can derive the fear of your devotees. You are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flame of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only. So you please guide me, you please protect me, offer your protection. I see these signs of great destruction. And Krishna tells Arjuna to shoot his Brahmastra to counter the effect of Brahmastra shot by Ashwatthama. And Arjuna also evokes his Brahmastra and he shoots his Brahmastra and as both Brahmastra meet, so there is a complete darkness in the sky and this is coming out like the signs of the whole cosmic destruction, that everything will be destroyed. There's flames of fire erupting from everywhere. And at that time, Vyasadev, he comes there and he instructs both of them, both of you pull down your Brahmastra, bring your Brahmastra back. And Arjuna immediately complying with the instructions of Vyasadev, he ask his Brahmastra to come back. But Ashwatthama says, oh, I know only to shoot the Brahmastra. I don't know how to bring it back. And Vyasadeva tells him, you fool. If you don't know how to pull it back, why did you shoot this Brahmastra? So earlier, the power of all these military weapons, that was available to certain individuals. And they have to get these powers through their austerities, by pleasing the higher superior authorities, right? The different Devi Devatas, different demigods, they will approach them, do some austerities, and then they will get these great weapons. But now, with this advancement of science and technology, which we consider it as a so-called advancement, all this weapon, all this knowledge is available to anybody and everybody, and people use this in a misguided way. They use it for wrong purpose. I said, we have guided missiles, but misguided people. People have all this knowledge available at their fingerprint. People can go to internet and search of something, how to make a bomb. And people try to use it for many various wrong reasons. So earlier, at least, that was available to certain people only. So Ashwatthama, when he said, I cannot bring it back, so then Krishna instructed Arjuna, you pull this weapon also. So Arjuna kind of controlled the Brahmastra, which was shot by Ashwatthama also, of course with the mercy of Krishna. And the point which comes here is, when people, they want to use this things to their advantage, but they don't have control on that. The same thing is, these days people claim that this animal sacrifice is mentioned in the Vedas, and earlier also people used to this animal sacrifice. Why we cannot do it now? On the name of animal sacrifice, now it's basically slaughterhouse. They have big slaughterhouses to kill these animals. For what purpose? To enjoy. Well, we want to eat flesh, we want to eat meat. So all these slaughterhouses are coming, and people give this excuse, oh, earlier also Vedic sacrifices, the animal slaughter was mentioned. So now also we are doing animal sacrifice, what is the problem? But the problem here is, earlier when the people were doing animal sacrifice, the priests, the brahmanas who were performing this sacrifice, they had the power, they will chant the mantras, and when they sacrifice the animal, they had the potency to bring the animal back to life. The animal will get the life back in a higher life. If they are sacrificing a goat or something, that can immediately get the body of a human being, get elevated to a higher life form. So do you have that power? Can you give the life back to the animal? If you do not have the power to give the life back, you don't have the right to take the life of the animal also. So people don't understand that principle. The principle of animal sacrifice. What was the real purpose behind it? And they will sacrifice some old goat or that kind of animal, and they will immediately get freed from their that bodily condition and get a higher life form. So as Ashwatthama's weapon has been pulled out, Arjuna goes and ties Ashwatthama with his hands and legs, and they drag him, bring him back to the military camp. And everybody is shouting, Draupadi, everybody is shouting, Bhima is shouting, kill him, let's kill him immediately, Mardalo, Mardalo, everybody is shouting like that. And Draupadi come there, as soon as she see Ashwatthama tied like an animal, with his hands and legs, she immediately come in front of him, actually without showing any anger, without blaspheming him, without shouting, kill him, she comes in front of Ashwatthama, folds her hand and pay obeisances, and tell, why have you bound Ashwatthama like this, like an animal? He is the son of your guru. He is the son of a brahmana. Please release him immediately. So look at that situation of a woman. Her 5 sons have been killed. And she is in a great trauma. She is crying. But as soon as she is seeing Ashwatthama, she is saying, please release him. He is the son of your guru. He is a brahmana. And I can understand the pain of his mother, Kripi. She has already lost her husband also in the war. Dronacharya has already been killed in the war. So she is already a widow. And if her son is also killed, how will she sustain herself? My sons have been killed, but at least my husbands are here. But she will not have her husband also, and her son also will be killed. Please release him. But it doesn't mean that we don't give a due punishment to him. So even though Bhima is saying, no, kill him. And Krishna is also actually testing the Pandavas. What decision they take, what dharma they follow. So at that time the decision is taken, this person, we have to give him a punishment which is equal to death for him, but without giving him the actual death sentence. So the punishment given to Ashwatthama was shave off his head and take out the pearl which is on his forehead. So Ashwatthama had a pearl actually from birth in his forehead. And they, with knife, they brought out that, carved out that whole pearl from his head. And this wound was there in his forehead, the blood coming out permanently from that with great pain, with his head shaved. That was like a death sentence for Ashwatthama. Insulting him to such a great level, giving him the bodily pain for lifetime, that he will remember this act. So as a Kshatriya, it is the duty to give punishment to the miscreant, give punishment to the criminal. So for example, in this, our terrorist attack on the military. So this is the duty of the army, to give the punishment to the criminals involved. And that is for their good also actually. Because see, earlier, if anybody committed a crime, such crime of killing a person, so that person was also given a capital sentence. Kind of as a death sentence. So the king will give him a death sentence. And that was for his benefit also, because he will be relieved from that karma of killing somebody. So he has not to suffer for the next lifetimes to come for this crime. But now the constitution is such that we make big cry on the name of human rights. Oh, how can you give him a death sentence? People come out with big rallies and all. Death sentence is given to a big criminal, big terrorist also. And ultimately what happened? They will send him for a lifetime imprisonment or something. But does it really solve the problem? There will be other terrorists outside who will try to commit some other thing to get them relieved from there. They will twist the arm of the government through other channel or forcing them for that act. Ultimately it becomes a big burden on the government itself to first of all maintain them, to give them food and so much of security arrangement and all that. And that person is also not relieved from his crime, the karma of his crime. So Ashwatthama is given this punishment which is equal to death for him without giving him actually the death sentence. So with that, they all come back to Hastinapur and Yudhishthira is installed as the king. And after installing Yudhishthira as the king, everything is settled and Krishna is leaving from that place to go back to his Dwarika, that I've been outside of my kingdom for so long, now I should return back. And as he is trying to go, leave from Hastinapur to go to Dwarika, as he gets on his chariot, now take darshan of the other female in that family lineage, Uttara. Uttara is mother of Parikshit Maharaj. She is the wife of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is Subhadra's son. And Subhadra is Krishna's daughter. So she is son of Subhadra. Sorry, Abhimanyu is son of Subhadra. And Abhimanyu is killed in this war of Kurukshetra, fighting alone with six military generals. Six military generals, completely armed. And ultimately, they killed Abhimanyu, who was ultimately unarmed, completely tired. And it was against the rules of the fight, of the war, that multiple people attack one single person. And again, it was against the rules to attack on a person who is without weapon. So he was killed by six army generals. And Subhadra did not spoke one single word. She did not complain to Krishna, how come when you were there, how come my son is killed? So you will see in whole episode of Mahabharata or in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no mention Subhadra even spoke one word. And why Krishna allowed Abhimanyu to be killed in this war? we may ask this question, how can Krishna allow this to happen? Krishna says, Name Bhaktya Pranashyati, my devotees are not harmed. So how Abhimanyu is killed? But Krishna has a bigger plan. He is willing to sacrifice his relative also for a bigger purpose. And it's very hard for us to understand plans of Krishna, what bigger plan Krishna has. So Abhimanyu is killed in the war. And Uttara, she is pregnant at that time. And as Krishna is leaving from Hastinapur to go to Dwarika, he climbs onto his chariot. Everybody is standing in the lines to bid farewell to Krishna. And at that time, Uttara comes running from the palace. She comes running, talking or praying to Krishna. So Uttara uvacha, pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagatpate nanyam tvadabhayam pashye yatra mrityu parasparam. So as Uttara is coming running towards Krishna, all the women are thinking, why she is coming running? As Krishna is about to leave, and it generally when somebody is leaving, one says one should not be crying or something for their journey to be peaceful. And here she comes, she is a widow. Her husband is lost in this war, and she is coming running towards Krishna crying, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin, please protect me, or the greatest mystic. You are the greatest mystic, please protect me from this greatest danger. I don't see any other shelter apart from you. Nanyam tavadabhayam pashye yatra mrityuh parasparam. Nobody is able to give shelter from this death. She says, I am not scared of the death. I can die at any time. It doesn't matter to me. But there is the last vanshaj of Pandavas. The last Pandava ki bolte antim nishani mere garav mein hai. Please protect him. Please give him shelter. I'm feeling like my womb is burning. Some weapon is coming towards me, which is putting my womb on fire. And I'm feeling this great burning sensation inside my body. Please protect me. So first of all, she did not approach the Pandavas. Pandavas are also there. And all the Pandavas, they are also equipped with their weapon. She did not come running to the Pandavas, please protect me. She came directly running to Krishna. You are the supreme personality of Godhead. You are the supreme mystic. Only you can give protection from this danger of death. Please protect me. And Krishna, seeing the danger coming to his unalloyed devotee, out of his anukampa, of the Bhagwan ki anukampa. So anukampa means Bhagwan bhi kaamp gaye. The danger, seeing the danger coming to his devotee, Krishna also shivered. And Krishna saw this danger coming to his devotee. He immediately knew what has happened, that Ashwatthama has shot the Brahmastra again with the desire to kill the last descendant from Pandava lineage. And Krishna immediately, Krishna is in everybody's heart. So from the heart, Krishna entered into the womb of Uttara. Vayasanam bhikshya tattesham ananya vishaya atmanam sudarshanena swastrena swanam raksha vyadhat vibhuhu. Vayasanam bhikshya tattesham, seeing the danger coming towards his devotee, sudarshanena swastrena, he immediately became ready, holding on his Sudarshan Chakra, to protect his devotee, Swanam Raksham Vyadat Vibhu. Antahastha Sarva Bhutanam Atma Yogeshwaro Hari Swamayaya Avranod Garbha Vairatya Kurutantave. The daughter of Vairat, he entered into her womb. Through her heart, Krishna is situated in everybody's heart. Antastha sarva bhutanam. So he is situated in everybody's heart. From Uttara's heart, he entered into the womb of Uttara, and he protected the udar, the embryo of Uttara. He covered the embryo and he is protecting. Krishna's beauty is described here in the next verse. This is Krishna. He is wearing the yellow garments. All his four arms, four hands are equipped with various weapons, holding the Sudarshan Chakra, the Gada, the Shankh and Pushpa. Wearing nice ornaments, Krishna is looking very beautiful. And he is there to protect his devotee. And Krishna is moving his Gada so fast, and it feels like it's Sudarshan Chakra rotating. He is moving his Gada so fast. And Parikshit, in the womb of Uttara, he is seeing some other person has come who is trying to protect me. And it is like the size of the thumb. Very beautiful person with yellow garments, nice ornaments, four arms. He is covering the embryo to protect the child in the womb. So Krishna, so in Mahabharata, it describes that Parikshit was burned by this fire of Brahmastra. And Krishna at that time said, if I have been impartial to everybody in this war of Mahabharata, in this war of Kurukshetra, let this child become alive again. And the child again came back to his life. So now here Krishna is saying, if I have never been impartial to anybody in the war, let this child gain back his life. He is the Supreme Lord. He can do anything. But the point here to know is, he is saying, if I have been impartial to everybody. Now people think, oh, Krishna is very partial in this war. He was driving the chariot of Arjuna, taking him in all directions, and he guided Pandavas and he got all these Kauravas killed in the war. He was on the favor of the Pandavas always. And here Krishna is saying, if I have been impartial to everybody. So Krishna actually is not favorable or partial to anybody. Krishna says, Samah Sarva Bhuteshu. I am impartial to everybody. I do not favor somebody, or I do not enmity. I don't have any enmity with anybody. I am equal to everybody. And as people approach me, as people reciprocate with me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. This is the same thing when in the case of Prahlad Maharaj also. So when Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by various atrocities of his own father, tried to kill him in many various ways, and ultimately his own gurus, Shand and Amark, they tried to kill Prahlad by using the black magic. So they brought up a demoness to kill Prahlad, and Prahlad was completely absorbed in remembering Krishna. And this Kritya, which was created by Shandra Amarak, she went back to them only, because when the black magic, because of this black magic, when it's not able to destroy the person for which it is created, it will go back to the person who created it and destroy that person itself. So Kritya went back to Shandra Amarak and killed them itself. And when Prahlad saw his guru Shandanak Amarak in dead situation, the sons of his guru Shukracharya in this dead position, he was lamenting. And his words were, if I do not had any enmity towards the people who had tried to harm me, agar maine kabhi unke saath dvesh nahi kiya, let the sons of my guru become alive again. And because of his pure devotional service, Krishna gave the life back to those people who were trying to harm Prahlad. So that is the compassionate nature of the devotee. And same thing we hear from the pastime of Haridas Thakur also. So Haridas Thakur, he was a Namacharya. He is chanting the holy name. But the Mughal ruler, he wanted to kill Haridas Thakur. He wanted him to stop chanting. And if he did not stop chanting, he wanted to kill him. And Haridas Thakur was beaten in 24 marketplaces. And all these Yavana soldiers who are trying to beat Haridas Thakur, they are becoming tired. And Haridas Thakur is completely absorbed in just chanting the name. He is being beaten, but he is absorbed in chanting. And ultimately these soldiers are getting tired. And Haridas Thakur asks them, why are you so scared or anxious? Say, if we are not able to kill you, if we are not able to stop you, the king will destroy us, he will kill us. And Haridas Thakur said, oh, my life is becoming the source of your misery, source of your anxiety. I will give up my life. And he lay down unconscious. And in Mahaprakash Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing to Haridas Thakur. Of course, it was Haridas Thakur's Leela. Ultimately, they thought Haridas Thakur is dead and they threw him in the river. And 2 days later, Haridas Thakur came back. And later on in Mahaprakash Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his form, the real form, four-handed Vishnu form to all his devotees. In that Mahaprakash Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling Haridas Thakur that in that pastime when you were beaten in 24 marketplaces, I came running to protect you with my Sudarshan Chakra. But you were praying, my Lord, please do not punish them, please do not harm them. They do not know what they are doing. So I did not destroy them. I did not destroy those soldiers, those Yavana soldiers. But I covered on your body so that you will not feel the pain of those beatings. And Mahaprabhu showed his back, all these marks of those beatings on his back. So Krishna, he is not envious toward anybody, or he is not partial toward anybody, favorable toward anybody. He says, I am equal to everybody. So Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of Uttara, the last family lineage of the Pandavas. And Parikshit Maharaj had seen somebody entering into the womb. And he is thinking, this is my best well-wisher. He is my best well-wisher who has come to protect me. And in one sense, Krishna is like a brother. So who enters into the womb? He is also son of Uttara. He took the position of a son of Uttara by entering into the garb of Uttara. One very important point to understand this episode of Parikshit being saved in the womb of Uttara. When Krishna entered into the womb of Uttara, and Parikshit saw Krishna, this four-handed form of the Supreme Lord inside the womb, just the size of thumb. So he is able to see everything. He is able to understand something is happening. Some my well-wisher is here. He is protecting me. So the message here is, when it comes to abortion, right? Some people think, oh, in the womb of the mother, there is no life. In the baby, the life comes when the baby come out of the womb, that time the life end comes. Or life comes in the baby after some stage, after the baby has grown to 5 months or something in the womb, only then the life enters. Before that, there is no life, it's just a lump of flesh, so it's completely okay to kill that baby in the womb for the abortion part. It's not just the lump of flesh in the womb. It's the child which is developing from day one. And Bhagavatam actually describes in third canto, in the teachings of Kapila Dev, he describes how the baby grows in the womb from day one till 9 months. So what happens in the first month? What happens in second month, third month, up to 9th month? And the child in the womb actually is completely conscious of everything. He can see what is happening. He can feel the things. And there are so many of the pastimes in scripture which describe the baby learned in the womb of the mother. So Abhimanyu, he learned this military skills in the womb of Subhadra. When he was in his mother's womb, Arjuna described to him how to enter into this chakra view. But he has described only halfway. He has described only how to enter in the womb. And at that time, Subhadra fell asleep. So the baby also slept and he could not learn the second part, how to come out of that. And from the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj also, we can see he learned the principles of devotional service while in the womb of his mother. So she was living in the hermitage of Narada Muni, in the ashram of Narada Muni, and Narada Muni was giving guidance. And Prahlad Maharaj heard all those teachings when he was in the womb of his mother. And there are so many modern day scenarios also, which indicate the child is conscious when in the womb of his mother. And he is getting those impressions, he is learning while in the womb. I had mentioned this one instance earlier also in one class. So there was one woman, this is from US itself, there was one woman. So as her child was born, the child was always crying. Most of the time he is just crying and crying and crying. And only one particular time of the day he will be quiet. So they took the child to the doctor. Asked the doctor, this child is always crying. Something is wrong. What is happening with this child? So the doctor asked the mother, what were you doing? What do you used to do in your pregnancy when this child was in the womb? What things you used to watch on TV? So she said, oh, I used to love this particular TV serial very much. It used to come every day at this particular time. And I used to watch this with full attention. I was very anxious all the time for watching this particular TV serial. And same thing, this child picked up from the when he was in the womb. And as he came out, he is always so anxious, so much in under anxiety, always crying. But only that particular time of the day, when he is in front of the TV watching that particular thing, he'll be very quiet. So the doctor said, this is the impression he has got from during his your pregnancy from the womb itself. You were so much attached with this serial. So this child also got that attachment. Ye bhi us serial ka bhakt ban gaya hai. So he is not satisfied with any other thing. He is always just anxious about this particular thing. So you can see the child in the womb itself, he is growing from the beginning. It's not just a lump of flesh. And it's a very heinous activity to kill the child in the womb, to commit the abortion. The scriptures define if one commits this heinous act of aborting the child, they will be put in that situation that they will not be able to see the daylight. So basically, the womb is so dark. In the womb there is complete darkness inside. So they are in dark. Without seeing the light in this world, they are aborted. So they will keep entering into the womb of mother aborted, being aborted like that. They will keep going through that cycle, will not be able to see the light. So that is so much of bad karma it brings. So Uttara has been protected. Parikshit has been saved, and at that time, after staying there, so Krishna is again ready to leave. And as he is ready to leave, as he climbs onto his chariot, one step onto the chariot, the nice chariot is ready, driven by Daruka, the chariot driver of Krishna. Krishna steps on, one foot onto the chariot, and Kunti Maharani comes from the back, holds on to Krishna. Cloth and offer prayers to Krishna. So now take darshan of the third woman in this family lineage, Mother Kunti, Queen Kunti. Who is Queen Kunti? So before we enter into this prayers of Queen Kunti, which is one of the best portions of Srimad Bhagavatam, let's first understand who is Queen Kunti. So Queen Kunti, in this pastime of Krishna, in this whole episode of Krishna, she is Krishna's bua, aunt. She is elder sister of Vasudev. But she has been given to Kunti Bhoj. She was adopted by Kunti Bhoj. And that's why her name came as Kunti. So her original name was Pritha. And from her name Pritha, Arjuna's another name is Parth. So her original name is Pritha. She was adopted by Kunti Bhoj. And her name became Kunti. So in her young age, she was a devoted girl from her young age. And as she is staying in Kunti Bhoj's palace, the sages will visit the palace and she will serve those sages. And one day Durvasa Muni, he visit with all his staying there. Kunti is engaged in service of Durvasa Muni. So she is serving nicely, offering them food and serving them, massaging Durvasa's feet. And Durvasa is very pleased with Kunti's gentle mood of service. And he blesses Kunti, I give you one mantra that you can evoke any great personality by chanting this mantra. So she has been given this boon by Durvasa Muni. And one day, as a young girl, 16 years old, she is standing in her balcony. And out of curiosity, sometime in a young age, we have so much of curiosity. Oh, does this thing real work? So she has this curiosity. Durvasa Muni gave this mantra that I can evoke any personality, any powerful person by chanting this mantra. Does it real work? So just out of curiosity to test that mantra, as she was standing in balcony, she saw the sun setting. Looking at the setting sun's beauty, she thought of evoking sun god. So she chanted that mantra, focusing, meditating on sun god Bhivaswan, and immediately sun god Bhivaswan appeared in the balcony. And she was scared. No, please go back. I was just testing. I was just out of curiosity. You don't have any business here. Please go back. And Bhivaswan said, No, I have come because of your recitation of this mantra, and my visit cannot go waste. I have to give you something. And I will give you a child. And Kunti is scared. What do you mean I will give you a child? I am not married. And I am just a young girl. And if I become pregnant or something, how will I wander around, move around here in the palace?
Being unmarried.
Being on top of that, being unmarried. And he said, do not worry. It's not like a... See, in our sense, in our understanding, we consider things in a certain way. For us, eating, we think it is in a certain way. We have to pick the food and put it in our mouth, chew it, and then the food will go in our belly. We know how to sleep. We have a certain mindset for how to sleep, lie down on the bed and all that, and for the mating. So we have certain mindset how these things work. But at a certain level, these things happen at a different level. So Krishna also eat the food. We offer the food to Krishna in front of him. We put the plate up with all this nice bhoga. And somebody may think, oh, it's all still lying there. Is Krishna really eating it? But Krishna can eat with any of his senses. He doesn't have to pick up the food and put him in his mouth. Krishna just looking at the food, by just glancing at the food, he can accept the food. All Krishna's senses can do the work of other senses. He can speak through the eyes. He can eat through the eyes. And at the certain level, same way, when Kunti said, I am unmarried and you are saying I will give you a child, how will it happen? How can that happen? That is, it will be like a big scandalous thing. And Suryadeva said, do not worry, your chastity, your virginity, everything will be kept intact. And it's not that you have to carry this child for 9 months as a pregnancy. This child will come out immediately and not as to wait for 9 months. So there are things happening at a certain level. So just from our understanding purpose also, consider the scenario. How the things have changed from with time in last 30, 40 years. Now the communication. So there is a subtle channel of communication. Earlier people could communicate through the mental connection. Mastiksha tarange. So bolte na? So one could communicate. One could sitting at one place, one could communicate the message to other person through his mind. And earlier also, just consider 25, 30 years back. How many of us could have imagined that the time will come we can talk to other person from one country to another country on phone, and now it's even video calling. You can see the other's face also. You can see everybody what they are doing, sitting at one place. So those things have become possible, which may be unimaginable 25, 30 years back. So when the phone lines actually came in the beginning, how the phone lines were, how the phones used to work, that one person will pick up the phone, we will be connecting through the operator, we'll call the operator. So operator, first you will stay online for like 10, 15, 20 minutes, then operator will pick up. And then you will tell him the number, I want to dial this number. Then the operator will dial, so the other person will pick up the phone. And then most of the time this will be loud, hello, hello. The other person will be speaking, hello, hello. Most of the time goes like that. And if you have to call in a different city, you have to book it as a STD call. You have to book it maybe a few hours in advance. Right? So, but now how the things have changed? So this communication is also as a subtle level. How do we really understand how the sound vibration travel from here all the way to India, and you are able to talk to them, hear their voice and see their pictures also? So same way here, Sun God Vivaswan, he said, I will gift you the child which will be born immediately. And then it's your business how you want to handle that situation. So the son was born, and Kunti Devi, to protect her reputation or to keep this child secret, she put this child in a basket and puts him in the river. That may Krishna, may the Lord protect this child. And that is Karna. And people have so much of soft heart sometimes for Karna, so much of बोलते हैं करना के प्रति सहानुभूति. ओ ही वॉज सच अ नाइस गाय, दिस दैट, हाउ दिस समथिंग बैड हैपेंड विद हिम, हाउ इज किल्ड बाय इन दिस वे इन द वॉर. सो पीपल सी दैट पार्ट, दे हैव सम काइंड ऑफ अ सॉफ्ट हार्ट टुवर्ड्स करना. सम करना वॉज इन्वॉल्व इन सो मच ऑफ अ धार्मिक थिंग्स. आई डोंट वॉन्ट टू गो इन ऑल दीज डिटेल्स. सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग द कैरेक्टर ऑफ कुंती. So after that, when Kunti was married to Pandu and they were living in the forest, so Pandu, one day he was hunting in the forest, and by mistake, by hearing the sound of some animal, he thought it was the sound of an animal. He shot his arrow, which pierced in one sage's body, and he cursed him. That as we have been killed during our this procreation situation, we were engaged in the act of procreation, and we both are been pierced by your arrow. So I curse you that you will not be able to engage in this act of procreation. As soon as you try to mate with your wife, you will die. So Pandu had this curse. And as they were living in forest, so after that he gave up his kingdom for atonement of his sin. He said, I will just stay in the forest, do austerities. As they were living in forest, so Pandu wanted to have sons to continue his family lineage, to give the descendant for the Hastinapur throne, but he is not able to engage for procreation. So at that time, knowing that Kunti had this boon, she could evoke any great personality, so he requested Kunti to use her power, her that boon, and get the sons through some other great personalities, great Devi Devatas, those great demigods. So she evoked Dharmaraj, that's how Yudhishthira was born. Then she evoked Indra, she evoked Pavandev, Bhima was born, she evoked Indra, Arjuna was born, and she gave this boon, she shared her boon with the second wife of Pandu also, Madhuri, and she also got two sons, Nakul and Sahadev, through Ashwani Kumaras. So these are the five Pandavas, the sons of Pandu and Kunti, they were born. And Kunti throughout her life, She had seen so many problems. So even though she was living in the palace, but every step they were danger. They tried to kill the Pandavas and harm them in so many ways. They had to live in forest for so many years. Then they were trying to burn alive in the palace in
Lakshagraha.
They again had to stay. So they were cheated in the game of dice. They had to stay in forest for 12 years, 1 year incognito. Then this great war where all these great, great military generals were there. So she had seen so much of danger. And now as Krishna is leaving to go back to Dwarika again, she comes and holds on to Krishna's cloth and prays to Krishna. And her prayers are noted down in this Bhagavatam as one of the great prayers. There are many, many great prayers in Bhagavatam. We'll see Kunti Stuti, prayers of Queen Kunti. There will be prayers of Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Stuti, prayers of that Gajendra, prayers of Akrura, Venu Geet, Gopi Geet, Bhramar Geet. So many nice, nice, beautiful prayers are described in Bhagavatam. And why we are so much interested in this simple woman, Kunti's prayer so much? What is so special about the prayers? See, first of all, what is prayer? All of us know something prayer. What is really prayer? How we... So at least I guess everybody can relate to that. Prayer is something with which we get connected with the Supreme Lord. And in the childhood, we see our parents doing something, paying obeisances, father paying obeisances, mother paying obeisances, and child observing them, they will also learn that, oh, this is something as a prayer, and this is how we connect with the Lord. And everybody has different understanding of prayer or different means of prayer. We can pray for many different things. People pray for as simple as just thanking the Lord or just glorifying the Lord. Thanking Him for various things He has given to us. Prayer could be asking for some simple thing. As a child, some child may pray to Krishna, oh, please give me some toy. Please give me some bike, something like that, some simple thing. Asking for something. Or prayer could be something, if I remember, we used to pray in childhood. During the time of exams, everybody will be praying. Oh, please help me pass the exams, give me some good grades. Asking Krishna for good grades, good marks. So praying could be something simple as that. And prayer could be something as protecting against some bad things, protection against some wicked things. Oh, that person, I'm scared of him, please help, please protect me from him. Prayer could be as a well-being for somebody. We may pray to Krishna for well-being of others. We may pray for well-being of our children. We may pray for well-being of our parents. Please give them good health. So prayer could be as a well-being for others. Prayer could be as a protection from the wicked. And sometimes people pray to Krishna, pray to God for saving from the wrath of God. Oh, please be kind to me. Please be merciful to me. Please do not harm me. So people have different sort of reasons for praying. And what is your earliest recollection of prayer? Earliest recollection of prayer. How you prayed to God in the very beginning, maybe for something, maybe asking for something. Anybody remember? Any recollection of your earliest prayer? As I said, my earliest recollection of prayer is during the time of exams. Anybody else?
Ganesha.
You used to pray Ganesha for what?
Because he takes off all the disturbances.
He takes off all the obstacles, disturbances. Right? So the prayer is basically to remove the obstacles. So we may have some sort of our recollection of what prayer we did, and we may remember also if our prayer was fulfilled or the prayer was not fulfilled. So sometimes the prayer is fulfilled, some people may have recollection of some, they prayed for something maybe, and their prayer may not be fulfilled. You ask Krishna for something, or you may ask whomever you prayed to, but it did not get fulfilled. So people may have various recollection. If the prayer is fulfilled, they are thankful. But if the prayer is not fulfilled, still thankful.
Old age will be there.
Then immediately some anger will come out. Why? I just asked this simple thing from you. You cannot fulfill this simple desire. What kind of God are you? You cannot give me this simple thing. I am asking this one small thing. So people have all these various sort of prayer, and we should be very careful what we pray for actually. Whatever Kunti, why we are so interested in Kunti's prayer here? See, she is a simple woman, and that's also she prayed 5,000 years back. Why after 5,000 years people will hear her prayers, recite her prayers, sing her prayers, meditate on those prayers? Because the scriptures mention, even in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami described the 64 limbs of devotional service. There are 64 limbs of bhakti. And one of the limbs of bhakti is to offer prayers to Krishna. So we should say some sort of prayers to Krishna as a glorification of Krishna, being thankful to Krishna. So we can compose some prayer in all our words. And the other limb of bhakti is to offer some notable prayers. So what is the meaning of notable prayers? To offer some prayers which have been offered by some other great devotees. So those prayers have been sung, those prayers have been offered by some other great devotees, like here Kunti Maharani, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva, Gajendra, Vidura, Akrura, Gopis. So these great devotees, they have offered some prayers, and these prayers are ready-made available. So we can offer these notable prayers to Krishna, and Krishna becomes very pleased when we sing the prayers offered by other devotees also. We may not have the enough intelligence, we may not have enough prayers, but if we offer these simple prayers already offered by other devotees, Krishna is pleased with those prayers. So Kunti's prayer in Bhagavatam, there are 26 verses. So there are 26 verses which are as Kunti's prayers. Kunti Stuti. And there is a deep mood of surrender in those prayers. There is a deep humility in those prayers. Great depth of sacrifice in those prayers. That's why Kunti's prayers are so, makes it so great. And Prabhupada made it a small book out of Kunti's prayer. So from Srimad Bhagavatam, this 26 verses which are described as Kunti's prayer, Prabhupada wrote a small book. So this is basically part of Bhagavatam, but he took it out as a small book known as Kunti's Prayers of Queen Kunti. So one may not be able to read the whole Bhagavatam, but if people read these portions of Bhagavatam, which are like nice set of verses, then also they can make great progress towards on the path of bhakti. So that's why Prabhu took out these small portions of Bhagavatam and made that as a separate book. So there is a book, Prayers of Queen Kunti. Same way there is a book called Lord Kapila's Teachings. There is another book, Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, for some of the prayers offered by Prahlad. Everybody should try to get that copy. I mean, you should have the whole Bhagavatam first of all. If you don't have the whole Bhagavatam, at least get those small books. So one of that book is Prayer of Queen Kunti. So we'll enter into the prayers of Queen Kunti in the next session, because I don't want to start and then stop in between. We'll try to enter in the moods, in the mood of those prayers of Queen Kunti. So much in-depth understanding of the Supreme Lord, the mood of surrender. So we can enter into that bhava, in that deep emotions of Kunti, to appreciate those prayers. They are how to have our faith in Krishna. So that's why these prayers, which we recited, these two prayers, I want to recite these two prayers again. Before we end, let's say these two prayers again. This is Krishna Krishna Mahabaho. Bhaktanama Bhayankaram. Tvameko Dahyamananam. Apavargosi Samsritehe. Krishna Krishna Mahabaho.
Krishna Krishna Mahabaho.
Bhaktanama Bhayankara.
Bhaktanama Bhayankara.
Tvameko Dahyamananam.
Tvameko Dahyamananam.
Apavargo Asi Samsritehe.
Apavargo Asi Samsritehe.
Pahi Pahi Mahayogin.
Pahi Pahi Mahayogin.
Deva Deva Jagatpate.
Deva Deva Jagatpate.
Nanyam Twadabhayam Pashye.
Nanyam Twadabhayam Pashye.
Yatra Mrityuh Parasparam.
Yatra Mrityuh Parasparam.
Pahi Pahi Mahayogin.
Pahi Pahi Mahayogin.
Deva Deva Jagatpate.
Deva Deva Jagatpate.
Nanyam Twadabhayam Pashye.
Nanyam Twadabhayam.
Yatra Mrityuh Parasparam. Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. If anybody has any question or comment.
Just you said the Brahmastra was sent by Ashwatthama. And he couldn't return back. Then he said that still he want to change the direction directly to the womb. This is what I like.
This is how it's described in Mahabharata.
Yes.
So Mahabharata, it's described that when Vyasadev asked both of them to pull their Brahmastras back, Arjuna pulled it back. And Ashwatthama said, I don't know how to pull it back, but I will change the direction of this. And I will send it towards Uttara to destroy the last family lineage of Pandavas. So in Bhagavatam, it's described in two separate instances. So Bhagavatam described first, during when the war was ended at that time itself, right? They saw the five sons of Draupadi killed. So Arjuna went to find that culprit and give punishment. So at that time Ashwatthama shot that Brahmastra. And so they, after that this whole thing was done, they came back. So Krishna installed Yudhishthir as the king. And after all that thing was settled, as Krishna was leaving, at that time Uttara came running. That this Brahmastra was coming towards her womb and she could feel that burning.
Okay, it happened during that time when Uttara was coming running.
No. That's why she came running.
Okay, because she already felt that,
right.
Okay, something
that
happened.
She has been, she okay. Felt the attack happening on her womb.
Okay. And Subhadra was Arjuna's wife?
Subhadra was Arjuna's wife.
Okay, the second, okay.
Yes.
So, and Krishna's sister.
Yes. So Subhadra is nothing but Yogmaya.
Okay, Yogmaya. Okay.
So Yogmaya appeared in Kamsa's prison house when Krishna is taken to Gokula and the daughter of Nanda is brought here.
Yes.
So she appeared as Yogmaya.
Yogmaya, yes.
Right? And she disappeared at that time. This is the same Yogmaya which took birth as Subhadra later, as Krishna's sister.
Okay.
and she is married to Arjuna.
This question, how Parikshit Maharaj heard this narration. This question was asked by Sonak Rishi to whom?
So this question was asked by Sonak Rishi to Sutta Goswami, that how Parikshit heard this Bhagavatam. He was the emperor of the whole world, practically. So how he gave up everything, how he came to the banks of Ganges, sat down there for, without eating till death, he took that vow, and how he heard this great literature. So the another...
I have a question. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that if someone keep faith on some deities or demigod, he make it fix and he give the strength to do so.
Hmm.
So in this scenario, what happened day before yesterday, so the people are with all faith that they are doing all these miscreant things. Is Krishna still saying okay to do these things? Or is giving?
So there are multiple things happening at the same time, right? It's not that one person's desire is fulfilled. So everybody has their set of quota of karma. Somebody, whatever they may have done previously, they are going to be killed in a particular way. And somebody has the desire to commit this act of violence. So Krishna just brings them together. And it's not that, oh, Krishna is punishing somebody or rewarding somebody. Krishna says, I am impartial to everybody.
Yeah, that's why the person who is committing this sin, so he has 100% faith that after this is done, so he is going to achieve something. Okay.
That, so it's not that Krishna awards anybody's blind faith.
So that is what I meant to ask.
Like, right.
How
so somebody may have any blind faith and one may act based on that blind faith.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean whatever faith I have into that blind mm. something, I will be able to achieve that. Somebody may think, oh, I will attain Swarga. But does it mean I will attain Swarga? I may think anything, I may desire anything, I may have full faith, oh, I will do this kind of act and I will attain Swarga. But it doesn't mean that will happen.
So previously we have heard a lot of stories that many devotees of Kali, they used to offer human being as an offering to the Kali to get a lot of powers and get so many things. So why don't this is not possible when that was possible? That was my question.
So that is possible. See, they are also worshipping some form of Lord, right? They may not have complete understanding about the Lord.
Mm.
They may have one particular name, form, something. And they consider him as the Supreme Lord. But that is also Krishna's aspect only. So they may have faith in that. And they may also pray to that, oh, we want to execute this task. Please give us strength to carry out that task.
Same way they get some benefit from him. So that is also possible.
Right. But when the person is committing a heinous act as a crime, it doesn't mean based on their blind faith that it is approved. So there is a pastime of Jada Bharat. So there was dacoits who captured Jada Bharat to give as a sacrifice in front of Kali. So they were worshipper of Kali and they thought, we need to give some sacrifice to Kali and we need to capture some animal or something. And they were not able to capture some animal. They saw Jada Bharat. This whole pastime will come in Bhagavatam later. So I'm giving a brief hint here. So this Jada Bharat, he was as a great devotee of the Lord. But he, for the outside world, he was acting out like completely madman. Completely bewildered to the material world. And people were thinking he was a completely madman, less than an animal. He also doesn't have any intelligence. So it's like an animal only. So they will give him various tasks. They gave him the task of just protecting the fields or something. So these dacoits, they saw this Jada Bharat, consider him as a madman. They thought, oh, he is also like an animalistic person. So let's take him and give his sacrifice in front of Kali to please Kali. So they bound Jada Bharat, gave him nice bath and everything, and as they are, Jada Bharat, he is completely absorbed inside in praying to the Supreme Lord and meditating on the Supreme Lord. And as they are about to chop off his head, Kali manifested in person out of her deity, took out the same chopper these dacoits were going to sacrifice Jada Bharat, and she killed all these dacoits.
Because he was a devotee.
Right, because he was a devotee of the Lord. And all these Devi Devatas, they are also servant of the Lord. Right, so when somebody as a devotee completely absorbed in the Lord, and somebody is trying to harm the devotees, what Supreme Lord, even the servants of Supreme Lord will not tolerate that. So when something bad happens in the world, we say, oh, how this terrorist attack happened and some soldiers got killed and all that. Mm-hmm. So there is a bigger plan of Krishna. We can never understand the bigger plans of Krishna with our limited understanding. That's why I mentioned this pastime of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu was Krishna's nephew, right? Mm-hmm. Abhimanyu was the son of his own sister. And Krishna let him got killed in the war. So why will Krishna do that? But there is a bigger plan. Krishna has a bigger plan in that. So even though we may think, oh, this thing, something bad happened, the bad guys are able to win in this particular small scene, but ultimately Krishna has a bigger plan, bigger picture, which we may not be able to understand at this particular time.